I have just probably a short word, but a significant one that's been in my heart for about 2 weeks now. And it's really what Dan's talking about is the light. Let there be light. Those are the first words we hear the Lord speak. We see written in the Torah. And I want to speak to that. But first, let us open our hearts to the Lord and ask his presence to make us aware, enrich us, and also equip us this morning, this Christmas Eve. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gift of Christ. Your Spirit conceived. Child, Father, your plan went forth and Jesus became the light of the world for salvation. First to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. And we put our attention and our focus on Christ. Let the light of who Christ is illuminate in us, that we might shine our light before men. Lord, I surrender my words and my will. May you speak through your word and shine this morning as we look at the season of Advent and reflect on Christ. We love you, Jesus. Can you just say that? We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you a little story. You've probably heard it before. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that comes from another narrative. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's in Genesis 1, of course. And it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Some translations say void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, what did he say? Let there be light. I might encourage you to, if you're taking notes, to jot down how many times I say the word light this morning. And it's not just me, it's God and his word, because I'm going to read a lot of scriptures that talk about light. And it's just so beautiful that in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, and on the lips of God, the first thing he says is, let there be light. And what I've discovered or been made aware of these last couple weeks is the idea of light is really the prevailing thread, along with the blood of Jesus, when we look at the history of God's people. But light is constantly what God desires to bring into the earth. And he does it in the very beginning. He says, let there be light. And then I want to read a scripture at the very end of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. So I just started in the beginning. I'm going to take you to the very end, and then we're going to get a little meat in the middle. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 says this. And this is, context-wise, this is in the very end, the city of God, the new heaven, the new earth established. And here's the city being described like this. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God gave it light. This is the most important part. And the Lamb is the light thereof. It's so good. So there, I kind of have this habit or this, I don't know, you can call it an anointing, but I think of it as just a rhythm or a habit where I see these themes in the beginning and in the end, or I see something written in Exodus that's very similar to something in Matthew or Luke, and then I'm like, wait, I've seen that before, and I tie it together, and all of a sudden I see it in the prophets, or I see it in the poetry of Scripture, and then I see it in Revelation. And then I'm like, wait, something is going on here, and this is what I see with light. That in the earth, formless and void, darkness covering, God says, let there be light. In the world, he says, let there be light. And today, he says, let there be light. The light of Christ. So my response must be, in my life, let there be light, the light of Christ. I'm going to read you a few scriptures here. Isaiah 60, verse 1. We love this one. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. Psalm 18, verse 28. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning, my God turns my darkness into light. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And again in Isaiah 60, but verse 3, it says, nations shall come to your light, to the brightness of your rising. Now, the Genesis passage of let there be light, and then the Revelation passage of there will be no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God will be their light, and the Lamb is the light. That took me also to John chapter 1. Which Pastor Dan already read this morning. But now listen to how much light we hear in these scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Who's that? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And through him, the Logos, Jesus, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him, in who? In Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Someone say amen. And the Word became flesh, Jesus. The Message translation says something like, and he moved into the neighborhood, right? So Jesus, I love the imagery we get in songs when it says, he wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide. He's clothed in light, but now he clothes himself in clay. He clothes himself in the dust of the earth, if you will. He clothes himself in humanity, and he moves into the neighborhood. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. And it says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the light. He's the Word in the beginning. He's with God in the beginning. And he is the light of man. And so God says, let there be light, is Jesus. And then the light in the end in Revelation 21, there's no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God shall be their light, and that light is the Lamb. So I want to give you like just maybe three or four points here about Jesus being the light. First of all, Jesus is the light of the world for salvation. And we know that. Let me read a couple scriptures to you. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Did you know that's your call too? While you're in the world, you're the light of the world. Jesus in John chapter 8 said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." They'll have the light of life. What is the light of life? It is Jesus, because in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." This is, have you written light down 15, 20 times yet? How many? 35 times. Come on now. Jesus is the light to our path, for he is the word. "Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." His word, the scriptures, are the light to our feet and the lamp to our path. But the word is Jesus. The Logos, the Christ, the Messiah is the light and the life, and the life is the light of men. And isn't it amazing that in Hebraic history, they put honey on the lips of the learning rabbis when they read the scriptures, right? Because they say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Every single time you read the scriptures, you should taste the honey of the sweetness to know that the word of God is good. And Jesus, when he's getting ready for his crucifixion, he passes around the bread and he says, "Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." And we do it in remembrance of him because we taste the life, and that life is the light of men. It's Christ, his body. And we drink of the cup, and his blood cleanses us. And so there's a tasting of the body of Christ. The light goes into us that we might be who Jesus was. "I'm in the world, but I'm the light of the world." Seems a bit of an arrogant thing to say, but it wasn't, because it was the truth. And when you say it, it's not arrogance, it's truth. Because Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." I'll get there in a second. So, my second point I want to say is that Jesus is the light in the beginning. I kind of mentioned this already, but he is there in the beginning with the Father. And then God says, "Let there be light." And I know that Jesus wasn't created by God. He was in the beginning with God, but it's like God says, "Let there be light." And Jesus comes out and he's like, "Did you call me?" And then the place lights up. And there was light in the earth before there was sun and moon, because God said, "Let there be light." And Jesus comes forth and there's light. And then there's sun and moon on day 4, 3, and 4 or something like that. But then in the end, there's no need for sun and moon. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Are you guys with me on this? He's the light in the beginning. Now listen to this. Point number 3. Jesus then makes a profound statement that, of course, he says, "I'm in the world and I'm the light of the world." And we see, who's the light of the world? Jesus, right? We think Jesus is the light of the world. But here's the most profound thing to me. Jesus says, in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket." Did you see what just happened? "Nor do you light a lamp and put it on." See, we don't cover up the light of Christ in us. You put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, "Let your light shine before men, so that when they see your good works and that they may see it and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. In the same way, let your, what? Light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify Father in heaven. So Jesus is the light in the beginning, and he's the light. So he's the light in the beginning, and he's the light of the world for salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. But then he says, it's like he's commissioning us before the great commissioning. He's saying, you're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill, and you cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father. Here's my last point. Maybe I'll give a bonus. I don't know. Jesus, number four, Jesus is the light in the beginning, and he's the light in the end. So we learned that already from Revelation 21. It also says in Revelation 22, verse 5. This is the last chapter in Revelation, isn't it? The night will be no more. There will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The Lord God will be their light. I can't help but see the thread of the light of God all from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, where Jesus is the light. And Dan was saying earlier, it just looks so rough out there in the world, politically, economically, culturally. It's madness. But the scriptures say this, the earth is filled with the glory of God. And we can need to be careful that we don't look at the darkness and see the darkness as big. Because then we'll see it as the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We need to see the darkness and go, I'm the light. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm just going to step towards that darkness because it cannot overcome me. There is light in you. There's light in your eyes. There's light on your lips. There's light on your hands and feet. Jesus calls us to take care of one another, to bless one another, to bring the kingdom wherever we are. His prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. That's a light establishing concept. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill. And I also can't help but, you know, we think of the proverbial darkness, the culture, the economy, the structures of man, and we think we need to shine light, but we need light in our families. We need light in ourselves. We need to ask the Lord to light up places that we've hidden from him, that we've hidden from others. We may need a rescuing light this season. There may be someone in your life that needs the light of Christ. Today, you're going to see them. Tomorrow, you're going to interact with them. How can we be the light of Christ? I'm always amazed, I'm sure you are too, by coming into a dark room. I think of this auditorium, this sanctuary, when I come in here in the middle of the week and it's pitch black in here. I could come in here, it could be totally dark, I can't see anything, I'm bumping into stuff, and I could sit down in the front row and pray. And after a few minutes, I can open my eyes and see the rows. I'm like, it's really not that dark in here. Because that exit sign right there with that little green LED and whatever light might be coming in through the back somehow lights this place up. But my perception at the beginning was I can't see anything. And then I came into this place, and then I'd let my eyes settle, and my perception would change, and I could see. There are so many people that think it's only dark because that's their perception. They need someone with a fresh perspective that knows how to identify and see the light in a place, and then be able to light it up even further. Boom. God's calling us in this season to be the light. He brought us the light, not so that we could have the light, but so that we could give the light.